Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am P.J. Lynch, Laureate Nanogue of Ireland, and you're listening to Night, Night, Northwest.
Hello and welcome to everyone here and to all our listeners at home. Today we are recording from the Central Library in Letterkenny, County Donegal. This is the 14th episode and sadly the very last programme in our series of Night, Night, Northwest. Over the course of this radio series, we have brought you 14 unique programmes, all based on Irish children's literature. You have heard stories about a snobby cat, a dreaming tree, a little bear who just can't sleep, and Daddy Nut Brown Hair who says, "Guess how much I love you." We are delighted to be joined today by fifth class pupils from St. Patrick's National School, Lurgy Brack in Letterkenny. Our guest reader is Siobhan Parkinson. Siobhan served as Ireland's very first Laureate for Children's Literature, Laureate Nanogue. This evening, Siobhan will read two stories for us, The Devoted Friend by Oscar Wilde and her own story, A Beautiful Friendship. This is Siobhan's interpretation of the famous Oscar Wilde story. Hello, Siobhan.
You're very welcome.
Good evening.
And we are delighted and honoured to have you here with us again today.
It's lovely to be here. I'm delighted. So,
I'm going to read a story by Oscar Wilde. Have you ever heard of Oscar Wilde?
Yes.
You have? Yes. Some of you have heard of Oscar Wilde. Well, he is very famous. And he lived a very long time ago. Oh, gosh, 100 years ago or more. And he wrote mostly for adults. He wrote mostly plays, actually. But he did write this one collection of fairy tales, which is called The Happy Prince and Other Tales or Other Fairy Tales or something of that nature. And that's quite a famous book. In fact, The Happy Prince itself, the one that's like the title story of the collection, do you know what that means, the title story?
Yeah, so it's the story whose title is also the title of the whole collection, if you see what I mean.
So it's a story in the book, The Happy Prince, and that's also the name of the whole book. So that story is very famous from that book. And then also The Selfish Giant is also a very famous story by Oscar Wilde from that same book. But there are some other stories as well, which maybe are not quite so well known. So I'm going to read one of those. And the one I'm reading now is called The Devoted Friend. And there's something interesting about the way this story is told. It's a thing that writers sometimes do. The main story is kind of inside what we call a framing story. So it begins by talking about something that's going on one place, and then somebody within that story tells another story. So the main story is told by one of the characters from the outside story. Do you see what I mean? It's an outside story, like a frame, and then an inside story, which is the main story. So that's how this one is structured. One morning, the old water rat put his head out of his rat hole. The little ducks were swimming about in the pond, looking just like a lot of yellow canaries. And their mother was trying to teach them how to stand on their heads in the water. "Ah, I know nothing about family life," said the water rat. "I have never been married. You know, love is all very well in its way, but friendship is much higher. Indeed, I know of nothing in the world that is either nobler or rarer than a devoted friendship." "And what, pray, is your idea of the duties of a devoted friend?" asked a green linnet, who was sitting in a willow tree and had overheard the conversation. "Yes, that is just what I want to know," said the duck. And she swam away to the end of the pond and stood upon her head in order to give her children a good example. "I should expect my devoted friend to be devoted to me, of course," said the water rat. "Let me tell you a story on the subject," said the linnet. "Is the story about me?" asked the water rat. "It is applicable to you," answered the linnet, and started to tell the story. Once upon a time, there was an honest little fellow named Hans. He lived in a tiny cottage all by himself, and every day he worked in his garden. In all the countryside, there was no garden so lovely as his. Little Hans had a great many friends, but his most devoted friend of all was the miller. Indeed, so devoted was the rich miller to little Hans that he would never go by his garden without leaning over the wall and plucking a large nosegay, or a handful of sweet herbs, or filling his pockets with plums and cherries if it was the fruit season. Real friends should have everything in common, the miller used to say, and little Hans nodded and smiled and felt very proud of having a friend with such noble ideas. Sometimes, indeed, the neighbours thought it strange that the rich miller never gave little Hans anything in return, though he had 100 sacks of flour stored away in his mill, and 6 cows, and a large flock of woolly sheep. But Hans never troubled his head about these things, and nothing gave him greater pleasure than to listen to all the wonderful things the miller used to say about the unselfishness of friendship. When the winter came and he had no fruit or flowers to bring to the market, Hans suffered from cold and hunger and often had to go to bed without any supper. And in the winter, the miller never came to see him. There's no good in my going to see little Hans as long as the snow lasts, the miller used to say to his wife. For when people are in trouble, they should be left alone and not be bothered by visitors. So I shall wait till the spring comes, and then I'll pay him a visit. And he will be able to give me a large basket of primroses, and that will make him very happy. You are so thoughtful, said his wife. Is that the end of the story? Asked the water rat. Certainly not, answered the linnet. That is the beginning. Then you are quite behind the age, said the water rat. Every good storyteller nowadays starts with the end and then goes on to the beginning and concludes with the middle. That is the new method. I heard all about it the other day from a critic who was walking around the pond with a young man. He spoke of the matter at great length, and I am sure he must have been right, for he had blue spectacles and a bald head. And whenever the young man made any remark, he always answered, "Phew." But pray, go on with your story. Well, said the linnet, hopping now on one leg and now on the other. As soon as the winter was over, the miller said to his wife that he would go down and see little Hans. Why, what a good heart you have, cried his wife. You are always thinking of others. And mind you take the big basket with you. So the miller went down the hill with the basket on his arm. Good morning, little Hans, said the miller. Good morning, said Hans, leaning on his spade and smiling from ear to ear. We often talked of you during the winter, Hans, said the miller, and wondered how you were going on. That was so kind of you, said Hans. I was half afraid you had forgotten about me. Hans, I am surprised at you, said the miller. Friendship never forgets. That is the wonderful thing about it. But I am afraid you don't understand the poetry of life. How lovely your primroses are looking. Oh, it's most lucky for me that I have so many, said little Hans. I'm going to bring them to the market and sell them to the burgomaster's daughter and buy back my wheelbarrow with the money. Buy back your wheelbarrow? You don't mean to say you've sold it. Well, the fact is, said little Hans, that I was obliged to. You see, the winter was very hard, and I really had no money at all to buy bread with. So first I sold the silver buttons off my Sunday coat, and then I sold my silver chain, and then I sold my big pipe, and at last I sold my wheelbarrow. But I am going to buy them all back now. Hans, said the miller, I will give you my wheelbarrow. It is not in very good repair. Indeed, one side is gone and there is something wrong with the wheel spokes. But in spite of that, I will give it to you. I know it is very generous of me and a great many people would think me extremely foolish for parting with it, but I am not like the rest of the world. I think that generosity is the essence of friendship. And besides, I have got a new wheelbarrow for myself. Yes, you may set your mind at rest. I will give you my wheelbarrow. That is so generous of you. I can easily put it in repair as I have a plank of wood in the house. A plank of wood, said the miller. Why, that is just what I want for the roof of my barn. There is a very large hole in it, and the corn will get all damp if I don't stop it up. It is quite remarkable how one good deed always breeds another. I have given you my wheelbarrow, and now you are going to give me your plank. Of course, the wheelbarrow is worth far more than the plank, but true friendship never notices things like that. Certainly, cried little Hans, and he ran into the shed and dragged the plank out. And I have given you my wheelbarrow, said the miller, and I am sure you would like to give me some flowers in return. Here is the basket, and mind you fill it quite full. Quite full, said little Hans, rather sorrowfully, for it was really a very big basket, and he knew that if he filled it, he would have no flowers left for the market. Well, really, answered the miller, as I have given you my wheelbarrow, I don't think that it is much to ask you for a few flowers. My dear friend, my best friend, cried little Hans, you are welcome to all the flowers in my garden. And he ran and plucked all his pretty primroses and filled the miller's basket. The next day, Hans heard the miller's voice calling to him from the road. So he jumped off the ladder and ran down the garden and looked over the wall. There was the miller with a large sack of flour on his back. Dear little Hans, said the miller, would you mind carrying this sack of flour for me to the market? Oh, I'm so sorry, said Hans, but I am really very busy today. I have got all my creepers to tie back, and all my flowers to water, and all my grass to roll. Well, really, said the miller, I think that considering that I am going to give you my wheelbarrow, it is rather unfriendly of you to refuse. Oh, don't say that, cried little Hans. I wouldn't be unfriendly for the whole world. And he ran in for his cap, and he trudged off to the market with a big sack of flour on his shoulders. And a very exhausting trip it was for him. The next thing the miller asked Hans to do was to mend his barn roof. Poor little Hans was very anxious to go and work in his garden, for his flowers had not been watered now for 2 days. But he did not like to refuse the miller, as he was such a good friend to him. I do not think it's much to ask of you, said the miller, considering that I am going to give you my wheelbarrow. Little Hans worked all day long till sunset. And at sunset, the miller came to see how he was getting on. Have you mended the hole in the roof yet, little Hans? Cried the miller in a cheery voice. It's quite mended, answered little Hans, coming down the ladder. Ah, said the miller, there is no work so delightful as the work one does for others. It is certainly a great privilege to hear you speak, answered little Hans, sitting down and wiping his forehead. A very great privilege, but I am afraid I shall never have such beautiful ideas as you have. Little Hans went on working away for the miller day after day, and the miller said all kinds of beautiful things about friendship. One stormy evening, little Hans was sitting by his fireside when a loud rap came to the door. I'm sure it is some poor traveller, said little Hans to himself, and he ran to the door. There stood the miller with a lantern in one hand and a big stick in the other. Dear little Hans, cried the miller, I'm in great trouble. My little boy has fallen off a ladder and hurt himself, and I am going for the doctor. But he lives so far away, and it is such a bad night, that it has just occurred to me that it would be much better if you went instead of me. You know I'm going to give you my wheelbarrow, and so it is only fair that you should do something for me in return. Certainly, cried little Hans. I take it quite as a compliment, you're coming to me, and I will start off at once. But you must lend me your lantern, as the night is so dark, and I am afraid I might fall into the ditch. I'm very sorry, answered the miller, but it is my new lantern, and it would be a great loss to me if anything happened to it. Well, never mind, I will do without it, cried little Hans. And he took down his great fur coat and his warm scarlet cap, and off he went into the night. The night was so black that little Hans could hardly see, and the wind was so strong that he could scarcely stand. However, he was very courageous, and after he had been walking for hours, he arrived at the doctor's house and explained the situation. The doctor ordered his horse and his big boots and his lantern and came downstairs and rode off in the direction of the miller's house. with little Hans trudging behind him. But the storm grew worse and worse, and the rain fell in torrents, and little Hans could not see where he was going or keep up with the horse. At last, he lost his way and wandered off on the moor, which was a very dangerous place as it was full of deep holes. And there, poor little Hans was drowned. His body was found the next day by some goat herds floating in a great pool of water and was brought back by them to the cottage. Everybody went to little Hans's funeral, as he was so popular, and the miller was the chief mourner.
"As I was his best friend," said the miller, "it is only fair that I should have the best place."
So he walked to the head of the procession in a long black cloak, and every now and then he wiped his eyes with a big pocket handkerchief. "Little Hans is certainly a great loss to everyone," said the blacksmith, when the funeral was over and they were all gathered comfortably in the inn, drinking spiced wine and eating sweet cakes. "A great loss to me, at any rate," answered the miller. "Why, I had as good as given him my wheelbarrow, and now I really don't know what to do with it. It is very much in my way at home, and it is in such bad repair that I could not get anything for it if I sold it. I will certainly take care not to give away anything again. One always suffers for being generous." "Well," said the water rat, after a long pause. "Well, that is the end," said the linnet. "But what became of the miller?" asked the water rat. "Oh, I really don't know," replied the linnet, "and I am sure that I don't care." "It is quite evident, then, that you have no sympathy in your nature," said the water rat. "I am afraid you don't quite see the moral of the story," remarked the linnet.
"The what?" screamed the water rat. "The moral? Do you mean to say that the story has a moral?"
"Certainly," said the linnet.
"Well, really," said the water rat, in a very angry manner, "I think you should have told me that before you began. If you had done so, I certainly would not have listened to you. In fact, I should have said, pooh, like the critic. However, I can say it now." So he shouted out, "Pooh!" at the top of his voice, gave a whisk of his tail, went back into his rat hole.
"I'm rather afraid that I have annoyed him," said the linnet. "The fact is that I told him a story with a moral."
"Ah, that is always a very dangerous thing to do," said the duck. "And I quite agree with her." What did you make of that?
Very good. Very good.
You liked it?
Yes.
Who's your favourite character? Is it the miller or little Hans?
Little Hans.
Little Hans. Poor little Hans. He really got a rough time, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. Aoife, over here on the left.
Were Oscar Wilde and Shakespeare friends?
No, because they lived in different centuries. So I would expect that Oscar Wilde very likely read Shakespeare, but he certainly never met him. And if he did, it would have been a ghost.
Orla, have you a question?
How many books have you wrote?
Me? I've written nearly 30, I'd say now. Mostly for children, some for quite young children, and a lot for your kind of age group, and then a few for adults as well, so very mixed.
Who are your favourite authors? Okay, Alex.
Michael Moore Bugle.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Tegan.
J.K. Rowling.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Louise Hatcher.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Sarah.
Alicia Dixon.
What has she written?
She's written Lightning Girl and then second one of Lightning Girl.
You like those?
Yeah.
What about Lorcan at the back?
Christopher Polony.
Yes. And Malachi.
David Williams.
He's funny. Harry, favourite author?
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. Orla?
Dave Pilkey.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're a very well-read class here, aren't they? Rory.
Owen Colfer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Ellie.
Claire Baldwin.
Very good. Aoife?
Dave Pilkey or J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
You know tons of writers in this class.
Yeah.
Rachel?
Jacqueline Wilson.
Oh, yes. I'm a great fan of Jacqueline Wilson.
Matt and Tom Oldfield.
Do you know him? Matt and Tom Oldfield? No? What has he written?
Football books.
Oh, okay. Football books.
All right.
Very important.
Go. Yeah.
Will we move on?
Will you read the other story?
Yep.
I'm going to tell you a version of the story now about little Hans and the miller, and I'm going to do what was recommended as the new method of storytelling and begin with the ending. Well, at the end of all, the poor gardener was buried,
for that is what you do with people who have been foolish enough to fall into a bog pool. And that was the end of the beautiful friendship between the little gardener and the large miller. And so grief-stricken was the large miller that he could not bring himself to attend the funeral. But all the people of the area came and they wept, for everyone had loved the little gardener, even if they were not his special devoted friend in the way that the miller had been. And that's the end of the story. And now for the beginning of the story. Once there was a large miller and once there was a small gardener. It was the same once, and they were friends, in their own opinions. The large miller was rich and pompous and had a wife and family and a comfortable house and plenty to eat and drink and lots of wood for his fire in the winter. The small gardener was poor and foolish and lived alone in a miserable cottage and only had enough to eat in the warm months of the year, when his garden produced flowers that he could sell and fruit and vegetables that he could eat or sell. It depended. The large rich miller was in the habit of visiting the poor little gardener in the spring, when he could be sure of going home with a lovely basket of primroses from the little gardener's garden. And in the summer, when there would be sure to be a nice punnet of sweet strawberries or raspberries for him to take home to his family. And in the autumn, when he might be lucky enough to get a present from the little gardener of apples or pears or grapes. Not that luck really came into it, for the miller always made a point of reminding the gardener of their great friendship when he visited, and explaining to the gardener that a truly devoted friend would always be happy to give his friend a present to take home with him, to show his appreciation for his friend's kindness in visiting. The strange thing was that the gardener never thought of visiting the miller and pointing out that a present of a sack of flour from the mill would be just the thing for the miller to give to his friend the gardener as a token of gratitude for the gardener's kindness in visiting him. But that was the difference between the friends, you see. The miller understood friendship and was able to explain it to the gardener, whereas the gardener was only able to be a devoted friend. And that's the end of the beginning. So now that you've heard the end of the story and the beginning of the story, I suppose you'd feel cheated if I didn't go on to tell you what happened in the middle. And this is the middle of the story. It is an astonishing thing to think of, but the fact is that over all the years that they were friends, the miller got more and more presents from the gardener, but the gardener never worked it out. You will already have worked it out, and you weren't even there. So the truth must be that the gardener was as foolish as the miller was greedy, and perhaps they deserved each other. In any case, the canny old miller noticed that the more he talked to the gardener about his duties as a devoted friend, the more the gardener was impressed. And the more the gardener was impressed, the more the miller was able to get out of the gardener. For if it began with flowers and fruit, it soon went on to odd jobs that the miller required the gardener to do for him in the name of friendship. And then odd jobs got to be bigger jobs, until finally, one wet and stormy night, the miller came to the gardener's door and explained to the gardener that it was his duty as a devoted friend to the miller to set out over the wild wet bog with no lantern, no walking stick, nothing, to call the doctor for the miller's son who had fallen off a roof and hurt his back. And so the gardener did. And you know how it ended up because you have already heard the end of the story. And that's the end of the middle of the story. And here comes the moral of the story. This is a story with a moral, but you have to work it out for yourself. You can also work out what happened next, which is a great economy for a writer, and is probably why the fellow with the blue glasses thought it best to begin with the end of the story.
Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am PJ Lynch, Laureate Nanogue of Ireland, and you're listening to Night Night Northwest.
That's it from this episode of the series. I'd like to thank the children from St. Patrick's National School, Lurgy Brack,
This is the last programme in our series of Night Night Northwest for now. You will hear from us all again next year. Oh, and keep on reading. So until next time...
Another round of applause for you guys.
The Devoted Friend, read by Siobhan Parkinson and written by Oscar Wilde. From The Happy Prince and Other Stories, first collection of fairy tales, originally published in 1888.
Night Night Northwest Series 2 was written, produced, directed and presented by Alison Toomey, with sound recordist Mary Harkin and editor Orla Malone. A Real Films production, funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee, along with the Donegal County Council Library Service and Creative Ireland.